All right, Saturday 49ers update with the big news dropping right now. Brock Purdy has won his bet against George Kittle. Iowa State beat Iowa. That was an insane game. Rocco Becht, a successor of Brock Purdy's at the quarterback position at Iowa State, was able to generate a miraculous drive on the road. Seconds left to set up the kicker, Kyle Conrardi, 54 yards. Rarely does a college kicker, especially in crunch time, make 54 yards look automatic. But it was, I think it was 2019, Iowa State. And as you guys know, I was in Ames, Iowa this offseason. I got to meet Matt Campbell, the head coach. I got to meet the entire staff over there. We talked about Brock Purdy's 4 years with the Cyclones. And those 4 years were impressive. But, you know, the true test of what a player does for a program, I think, is measured by the lasting power after the player leaves. And it wasn't just Purdy. It was Breece Hall, who's with the New York Jets, 49ers Jets playing on Monday. It was Will McDonald IV, who was also there at the time, the sacks leader for Iowa State. So congratulations to the Cyclones. Last year, Brock Purdy had to wear a giant Iowa Hawkeye head to a press conference, a 49ers press conference after Iowa had beaten Iowa State. Well, we'll see what Brock Purdy has in mind as revenge against George Kittle this time around. We're on the rooftop here, by the way, in the marina, as you can see. I think, check out the Golden Gate Bridge behind me. I was a celebrity judge at the San Francisco Fire Department chili cook-off today. Congratulations to Station 51. I'm going to have a whole video on the chili cook-off. It was intensive work to be a judge. Anyway, I've got a 49ers update for you, speaking of the game against the Jets. As expected, Yetur Gross-Matos, the defensive lineman with a knee injury, and Dee Winters, the linebacker with an ankle injury, have both been ruled out. They did not practice this week. There is no more probable designation, so the rest of 49ers players are listed as questionable. That includes Christian McCaffrey with the calf/Achilles injury, same injury that he had that kept him out of the Week 18 game against the Rams last year. And there's McCaffrey, and he's almost certainly going to play because there is no more probable designation. I would say that it's exceedingly likely that Christian McCaffrey will play. And Aaron Banks, who had the broken pinky, he's back in the lineup for the 49ers. I'd also say that it's exceedingly likely that he's going to play against the Jets. Then there's Talanoa Hufanga. He's listed as doubtful. Didn't think that he was going to play for the last several days, last couple of weeks, and that probably is going to come to fruition. He's going to be out in the 49ers. That's according to plan as he comes back from the ACL injury. So that's your 49ers injury report. Don't worry about Christian McCaffrey. Yetur Gross-Matos and Dee Winters are exactly where you expect them to be, ruled out, and Talanoa Hufanga probably back either in week two or week three for the 49ers coming off of the ACL. Congratulations to Iowa State. Congratulations to Brock Purdy. Wins his bet against George Kittle. Fucking everybody. As it was trying to pick me up. So this guy's patiently waiting. That guy's trying to back up. Fog is coming in. This guy's trying to back up too. Oh boy. We gonna make it through? There's a lot going on right now. This guy's trying to back up. He better wait because Casper's gonna plow on through. All right. We're on our way. Will the 49ers beat the Jets? What a day in the city, by the way, today. I know the fog has rolled in, but it burned off earlier for the San Francisco Fire Department chili cook-off. 49ers Jets prediction, which is coming tomorrow. I'll have that entire event covered. There was a lot of 49ers theme stuff at that event. It was great getting out there today. Congratulations to Fire Station 51 from the San Francisco Fire Department. They win the chili cook-off. They did also win the one you don't want to win. Speaking of San Francisco, we're crossing over the tracks, the cable car tracks. There's the Buena Vista. They also had the worst booth. So not good on that front, but good on the chili front. We are live. We're coming to you from the aquatic park. Maybe we can take a look over back at the water before we make the turn here. And we're going to talk, will the 49ers beat the Jets? Kind of like Iowa State beat Iowa today. Big win for Brock Purdy's alma mater. There we go. Saxophone player right there. cool stuff by Ghirardelli Square, and we climb up Russian Hill to go to the mission. I'm gonna go to this place called Truly Mediterranean. I feel like something a little bit lighter. I have to go without the lavash today. Just have to go for a plate after all that chili today at the chili cook-off. You know when you judge one of those things, you've got to eat like 22 different types of chili, and every single booth is trying to impress you. Some booths are giving you shots. I took some of them, not all of them. That was earlier this morning, though. I just got out of the bay. I went into the water to reset the body, and it was cold. It was got cold and windy. So, 49ers and the Jets. This is, I think the 49ers are 4.5-point favorites in this game, right? The way that we do this is we, 2 days before the game, we do, will the 49ers beat the given opponent? This time it's the Jets. The day before the game, we do the prediction. So, will the 49ers beat the Jets is a yes or a no, and I will build my case over the course of the next 21 minutes before we get to our destination, and then I'll answer the question at the very end. In the case of the prediction, we will actually give our predicted score. That's going to be coming tomorrow alongside the coverage of the chili cook-off for the fire department. So, when I look at 49ers Jets, I see the 49ers as 4.5-point favorites for a reason, because I think that, the Niners last year were the number one offense in football. They're the number 10 defense in football if you're looking at the advanced metrics, and that means a whole lot more than points per game, because offense and defense viewed independently is a whole lot smarter way to gauge those individual units. Despite the fact that the 49ers struggled, I think, relatively defensively last year, as the number 10 unit, they were still the best team in the NFC. They still made it to the Super Bowl. Some people would think they're the best team in the NFL, but they came up short in the Super Bowl, even at number 1 and number 10 with their splits. The Jets, meanwhile, had the number 3 defense in football, and they had the worst offense because Aaron Rodgers got hurt. They were number 32 offensively, so they weren't a good team last year. Where have these teams moved since last season? Like, how much have they improved? How much have they gotten worse? I think in the case of the New York Jets, you've got a team that's much better offensively now, assuming Aaron Rodgers can stay healthy. So perhaps a move from number 32 to number 10 offensively. If you think they're going to be a top 5 team offensively with Aaron Rodgers, well, I don't think they will be. But if you think they are, then all of a sudden you're going to have top 5 offense and defense, and this is a Super Bowl contender. But I think a reasonable move for the Jets is from number 32 to number 10 offensively. By the way, we've got a car here, another driverless car moving with us.
Just to the right, that's pretty cool. There's a guy there in the passenger seat. That's funny. He's waving to us. Maybe he's watching us. I think that'd be neat. But that's Casper's sibling as we move forward here down Van. Oh my God, we're going to cut this guy off. I love it. Good. All right, on with the show. So I think the Jets might move to number 10 offensively this year. I think their defense might get a little bit better because they do have that offensive support. So maybe a top 2 defense for the Jets. Whereas I think the 49ers have a really, really good chance to stay as the number 1 offense. And I do think that defense for San Francisco can get better. They fired Steve Wilks. They rehauled the defensive line. They add it to the secondary. It's the best secondary they've had under Shanahan and Lynch. I think you can make a case that this 49ers team should be favored to have both a top 5 offense and a top 5 defense, and it's not going to be the 5th ranked offense. I think it's going to be the top. It's not going to be the 2nd ranked offense. Not going to be the 3rd. Not going to be the 4th. I think the 49ers are going to have the best offense in the league again. And I think their defense is going to be in the top 5 again. And for that reason, it's really hard to sell me on the Jets being a top 5 team in both offense and defense. And for that reason, I think the 49ers are going to be better than the Jets. They have them at home here in week 1. Is San Francisco completely at full strength? Probably not. Brandon Ayuk is not going to have his full workload as he works back into football shape following the hold-in. There's even been talk of San Francisco filtering Jalen Morin at left tackle just in case Trent Williams gets tired. But it's not about being in the best shape for week 1. It's about peaking at the right time, and the 49ers always seem to do that in November. That being said, I think they've got more firepower than the Jets. This is not going to be
an easy game by any stretch of the imagination, though, because when you look at the San Francisco offense against the New York Jets defense, I think that this is a marquee matchup. I mean, Purdy's one of the best in the game at the quarterback position. The Jets have some of the best corners in the game with Sauce Gardner on one side, former 49er DJ Reed on the other. The Jets have a really good linebacker, a couple of really good linebacker. Quincy Williams, he's a good number two to CJ Mosley in that Jets linebacker unit. They've got one of the best interior defensive linemen in the game in Quinn and Williams. And, you know, great defensive linemen have consistently, interior defensive linemen have consistently given the 49ers interior offensive line trouble. And this is going to be the career debut for Dominic Pooney at the right guard position. So where does Quinn and Williams line up? You know, they got Javon Kinlaw with the Jets now as well. And Javon Kinlaw, we might see him against Pooney as one of the featured matchups in this game. But Quinn and Williams can do a number on the 49ers interior line. Jake Brendel at the center position, I think that's the biggest weakness on the 49ers offense. He's going to have to dig in. Aaron Banks, he's going to play. He's questionable, but he's going to play coming off the pinky. He's going to have to dig in. Kinlaw can cause some trouble in the pass rushing game, so you can't just worry about Quinn and Williams if you're the 49ers. Javon Kinlaw had a good year pass rushing for the 49ers last year. Then there's Solomon Thomas on the second level of that Jets interior. I mean, this is no joke. New York can bring pressure up the middle. The 49ers are going to have to block it. Interior pressure can blow up any quarterback in the NFL. I think exterior pressure is almost preferred because guys who are a little bit mobile, and Brock Purdy's definitely mobile, they can work their way around it. But interior pressure, that comes right up the gut. You don't really have time to elude it. And even if you do manage to elude it, it's probably going to destroy the timing of the play, and then you're playing out of structure, and playing out of structure is a quick way to lose in the National Football League. So I really like the Jets defense. I think it's going to be a tough matchup for the 49ers offense. If there's one weakness that New York does have, it might be against the run. Kind of like the 49ers defensive line isn't that great against the run. They were number 9 last year efficiency wise in run defense, the Jets were. And, you know, they've added Javon Kinlaw as a starter, and I think it was ironic last year, but Javon Kinlaw was a minus run defender and a plus pass rusher. And when the 49ers drafted Kinlaw back in 2020, they thought the opposite was going to be true. They thought this guy was going to be a plus run defender out of the gate and a minus pass rusher. And he had all the knee issues, and he had the surgery, and we know all about the ACL reconstruction. When Kinlaw got healthy again for the 49ers in 2023, he was a better pass rusher than he was a run defender. Probably because he was playing a little bit too high, not with the good low leverage against the run. Anyway, if the book is still the same on Javon Kinlaw, if he's still over-aggressive on some of those trap plays on the inside, Kyle Shanahan's going to be able to expose that schematically. Kyle Shanahan's going to be able to find ways to run Christian McCaffrey counter direction. I mean, it could be Garendo too. It could be Jordan Mason. He's going to be able to find ways to expose Javon Kinlaw's over-aggressiveness on the inside. And all it takes is one over-aggressive weak link on a defensive line in the middle for Kyle Shanahan to start making hay in the run game. And if the run game is there, then the play action game is going to be there. And if the play action game is there, well, then you're playing the game downhill as an offense. All of a sudden, you can start winning against Sauce Gardner and DJ Reed. But if the run game's not there for the 49ers, all of a sudden, Sauce Gardner and DJ Reed can start preying on footballs. All of a sudden, those Jets linebackers, who I don't think are a bad unit at all, can start playing on their toes instead of their heels. So I think it comes down to a very specific attack point for the 49ers when it comes to the run game against the Jets, and it might be against Javon Kinlaw, might be running right at Quinn and Williams on the inside. I think if you could start winning that attack point in the run game, the rest of the 49ers offense can unlock like a domino effect against this Jets defense. Now, on the other side of the football, that's where this thing is a big-time wild card. And it's intriguing as hell, right? Because it's Aaron Rodgers. It's one of the greatest to ever spin it. But he's been out for a long time. He only played a few snaps last year. And he's still playing behind a sketchy offensive line. Now, they should be better. They added Morgan Moses, the right tackle from Baltimore. They added Tyron Smith, the left tackle from the Dallas Cowboys in free agency. They needed to be better because that's why we saw the Aaron Rodgers injury last year, is because they couldn't protect him in very limited time. So if they are better up front, what's Aaron Rodgers going to be able to do in his return, even at this advanced age? Look at this. This guy, you're not supposed to be making this turn. There are no left turns on Van Ness. Let's get his license plate. Gosh, terrible. All right. There's City Hall right there. The bus was honking at him. The Waymo right here was not happy with that guy. Not good. Really not good. I'm going to show you guys City Hall as we make the drive past. There it is. With the gold up top on the dome. But so they got these bus lanes in the middle of Van Ness now. You could see the bus roll through. That's why you're not supposed to turn left. I don't think you're allowed to turn left beforehand, but that guy decided that the rules were not for him. I don't think that was a tourist. I think I think a tourist would be afraid to cut across five lanes of traffic on Van Ness to make an aggressive left turn. I think that was just somebody who was very selfish, who thought that the rules did not apply to him. Okay, so if say we're gonna go back by City Hall here, let's give you guys the view as we go by. It is chilly. It was beautiful today, but it's chilly now. We've got some of the performing arts centers lit up in 49ers colors, it looks like today. That's funny. Let me give you guys a look as we drive by. There's the opera. And then here's the symphony, and the symphony's got a whole red and gold theme going. I don't know if that's intentional for the symphony, but looks like they've got the Niners colors on the weekend of the season opener at the symphony. All right. We're about to cross market. Where was I at? Aaron Rodgers, if he's got decent protection, he could obviously be really, really lethal. I think though the run game is so important for any quarterback, so they can run some of that play action so the defense is on its heels. That comes down to Breece Hall. Congratulations to him as well. Iowa State over Iowa today. Probably didn't make George Kittle all too happy. George Kittle loses the bet to Brock Purdy. But Breece Hall is, you know, he was Brock Purdy's CMC back at Iowa State. He had about 400 rushing yards his rookie season. Had about 980 rushing yards his second season in the NFL. And that was without Aaron Rodgers playing quarterback for the New York Jets. So say that Rodgers stays healthy this year, brings the passing threat, I think Breece Hall is going to be a 1,000-yard guy if he can stay healthy as well. He's a weapon. Breece is a really, really good player for the New York Jets. So combine that with what they're going to bring at the receiving position, I think that Mike Williams is going to be on a pitch count for the Jets. But Garrett Wilson, that's a guy who could run routes with the best of them. Really precise route runner. Talked to Charvarius Ward in the locker room this week for the 49ers, and Charvarius said that Garrett Wilson's like the Devontae Adams in this offense for Green Bay. There was Devontae with the Packers and Aaron Rodgers back in the day. Well, Garrett Wilson's going to be the Jets version of that for Aaron Rodgers. So this is not an offense without weapons, and the biggest weapon of all is at that QB position. I just don't think that they have as much firepower as the 49ers offense. That being said, they're not playing against the 49ers offense. They're playing against the 49ers defense. I'm excited to see Tyron Smith, the left tackle for the Jets, against Nick Bosa, against Leonard Floyd, depending on how the 49ers align at the edge rusher position. You got Morgan Moses on the other side. You know, the Jets' interior, none of the line was good for them last year. So are there matchups the 49ers can win on the interior with Javon Hargrave, with Malik Collins, their new defensive tackle? We're not going to have Matos to cover in this game. We're also Winters in this game. Those are the two 49ers defenders that are going to be missing this one. So how are they going to do without those two guys? I think Yetur Gross-Matos is an important part of the defensive line rotation. D. Winters may still be linebacker depth at this point, but he's a player they have high hopes for. All in all, the 49ers are decently healthy defensively. Talanoa Hufanga probably won't play. And I think that is something to keep in mind. It's, you know, based on what we've seen in training camp, it's probably going to be George Odom at the safety position next to Jair Brown. But if you don't have a grip on the run game and Aaron Rodgers is playing downhill, He's a guy that can find safety lapses. He's a guy that can find broken coverages, and he'll definitely make you pay for them downfield. And that gets me to the main point here. Stopping the run is huge for the 49ers, because I do think that even with Tyron Smith and Morgan Moses now aboard the Jets offensive line, I don't see that being a world-beating front pass protection. I think they're going to need a run game and the threat of play action to take some steam out of the opposing pass rush. And this is where we say stop some run to have some fun. The 49ers have to get out there and make sure that Breece Hall does not have a field day. They were number 26 against the run last season, the 49ers. 26 in EPA against the run. It's a huge part of the reason why Steve Wilks was fired. And if the Jets have a shot in this game to upset the 49ers, they're going to have to run the football. They're going to have to do what the 49ers struggled to defend last year. So to me, that's the focal point of this side of the ball. Can the Jets run? If they can run, Aaron Rodgers is set up to play downhill. You know, when the Packers and the 49ers played in the 2021 regular season, that was Sunday Night Football, week 3 at Levi's Stadium, Green Bay wasn't great running the ball, but they were decent. I would say even good running the ball. Aaron Jones averaged 4 yards a carry. Again, not great, but it's consistent, and the floor of his runs was about 4 yards. We didn't see many losses. We didn't see many 1-yard gains or 2-yard gains. It was just 4, 4, 4, 4, 3, 5 for most of the game. And what that did is it created manageable down and distance for Green Bay. And Aaron Rodgers had a good game. He put up 30-plus on the 49ers, and he connected with Devontae Adams a couple times down the stretch. San Francisco can lose a game in a similar fashion this time if they are unable to do a better job dissuading the New York Jets from running the football. I said Green Bay because I'm so used to Aaron Rodgers at the helm of the Packers. But we're going to, hopefully I don't like seeing anybody get hurt. I hope that we get to see the first extended action of Aaron Rodgers in a Jets uniform in this game on Monday night. Should be a really, really interesting for the 49ers. So the question is, will the 49ers beat the Jets? And my answer is yes. I think the 49ers will beat the Jets. I think that there is simply more firepower for San Francisco. I think Brock Purdy right now is actually a more proven commodity than Aaron Rodgers, not because of the totality of his career, but because Aaron Rodgers is coming off an Achilles and he hasn't played in nearly 2 years, right? I don't count the few snaps that he had last year against the Bills to be significant enough. So I think that San Francisco's got, they're holding serve on their home field. They've got the more tried and true team at this point. The Jets are still an experimental version right now to see if Aaron Rodgers can stay healthy at this advanced stage to pair the defense. The Jets are a very dangerous opponent for sure, but the 49ers are 4.5-point favorites for a reason. So the answer to the question is yes, the 49ers will beat the Jets. I saw a couple questions on here, and maybe I have time to answer a couple of them, but a couple of the questions were, how's Ricky Pearsall doing? And I think that Ricky Pearsall is doing really well. The emergency room people said it was a 2% chance of survival with where the bullet entered his body, and Ricky is going to survive. I mean, he's thriving right now. It seemed like a miracle to me. The 49ers believe that a higher power was at work there, with the bullet entering near his chest or in his chest, and then the bullet actually exited through near his armpit. So it was a through and through bullet wound for Ricky Pearsall, and that through and through bullet wound somehow, some way, the bullet completely avoided any vital organs and key structural damage. Mike wants me to do some players to watch, so I guess I could do that right now for both teams. We can start with Brock Purdy and the Iowa State gang. So that's Brock Purdy. That is Breece Hall. It's Will McDonald IV. I mean, Hassan Reddick, I don't know what the latest with him is. Even if he walks through that door for the Jets right before, you know, and the holdout ends right before this game starts, you would have to feel that he's not going to be in tip-top condition. So watch Will McDonald, the Iowa State product, the first-round draft pick in his second year coming off that edge rusher position. I think that's it's key, right? With Trent Williams not being at, you know, full shape for the 49ers, with Colton McKivitz being one of the weaknesses in pass protection, how the 49ers fare against the edges of the Jets is going to be a key matchup to watch. I'll get into more players to watch in a little bit. I just got to my location. By the way, really good bar, Rudy's right there. There's the Roxy Theater, and I'm headed to Truly Mediterranean. Because I have to get out, I'm going to have to end the show. So I'll talk to you guys very soon. Yes, the 49ers will beat.